This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon, and welcome back to the second hour of Food for Thought with Carol. And joining me is Jeannie Lester. We are on 107.7 WTPL in the Concord, Manchester, and Lakes region, as well as streaming all around the world on WTPLFM.com, which is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And anytime during the show, you can give us a call at 866-823-1077. We would love to hear from you. Just give us a call and chat. Again, the number is 866-823-1077. We would also like to welcome our live audience here to the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street right in downtown Manchester. If you still haven't had lunch, you have plenty of time. Come on down and have lunch at Midtown, and you can come and watch the show. I'd also like to remind you to like us on Facebook as well. You can go to Food for Thought with Carol and like us on there. And that was a great first hour. That was fun.
We had a lot of fun, and the fun continues.
And the fun continues.
It always does.
Yes. And now joining Food for Thought is Chef Richard Sharp, who you are a personal chef.
Yes.
And welcome to Food for Thought. I'm glad you're here with us.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It is great having you here. And we have so many questions for you. But I want to start out with just the basics. What is basically a personal chef? I mean, I'm assuming that you kind of can not only cook meals for people, individuals that want to hire you for something specific, but is there a teaching component to what you do? And what got you into being a personal chef?
Well, yes, I do cooking classes for people. They don't just hire me just to come in and cook. Sometimes I'll cook them a meal, and they'll have to be sitting in front of me and watching me make it so that they can make it later on themselves.
Nice.
And what got me into it was I was in IT for about 30 years, and I got burnt out in it. I've always had a passion for food, so my wife, I got to thank Mary Ann, my wife, for pushing me to go back to school, get my culinary degree.
There you go.
And Cordon Bleu certification, and go on from there. And then I did work for a while with an externship. It's part of my training. I worked at Phillips Exeter Academy under Master Pastry Chef Patrick Bruteau, and that got me really interested in baking. So I started off as my company being called Chef Richard's Naturally Baked, kind of funny name, but
no, that's a nice name.
It was catchy and got me started. So I did a lot of baking, pies, cakes, rolls, breads, the whole thing. But then I found that I really liked to go further than that. So I got into the making meals for people, because a lot of people started off being mostly retired people that didn't want to go out to eat, but still wanted the food like they would get out. Mm-hmm. So I would make them whatever they wanted, and I got a pretty good reputation with that and got a good following. And then we had the, my throat's getting dry, a little hiccup in the economy there for a bit.
Yeah.
That sort of dried up. So I started working as a fill-in chefs here and there. And last thing was at the Maple Suites out in Dover. It's a retirement community where they do gourmet meals for the residents. So I was there for a few months while somebody was in the hospital. So it's been good. Now the personal chef business is taking off again.
Good.
And I have a regular monthly cooking class that I do on a Saturday at the Fresh Market in Bedford. And I really like being there because I like the ingredients they have, the store itself, the people. It's really a friendly place. And they call it the tasting store.
Wow.
Yes.
Because you can go there. Say there's something in the deli counter, you don't know what it, you never had it. They'll just give you a nice little cup of it. If you like candy, don't go there because because you can just keep taking candy out and tasting them.
It's not even funny how much candy is there.
Right.
It's crazy.
And they just have anything you can think of, natural and organic, they have. Plus, they also have conventional foods also. So I like it a lot.
We've talked about Fresh Market from time to time, and I just find it, I mean, I can spend hours in there. I, you know, just going up and down the aisles and just looking at everything. And, you know, and like I was telling you, Jeannie, a few, maybe a week or so ago, you know, if you walk in there and you just kind of go a little bit to the left of all the fruits and vegetables, and then you just turn and look at them all. It's like a picture.
Yeah.
It's just like a painting. It's just beautiful.
They model it after a indoor European farmer's market.
Ah.
So it's, if you go over to Europe, you'll find stores like that there.
Yeah, they were very successful in the way they did that. It is. And it's, there are so many things there that it does, and flavor combinations that you see suggested in front of you, that it does make you want to kind of experiment, to branch out a little bit, and to try some things.
In fact, if you like, they have a website called The Fresh Market, and there's a recipe section here where you're going to see a lot of the recipes that I've made and suggestions about what to have.
I did go to their website, and you're right. It's an awesome website. Yep.
Well, Carol and I have been talking about kind of a you know, either you're a baker or you're someone who likes to cook, and or you tend to have a propensity for one side or the other. Where do you land on that? Because you've talked about you know studying under pastry chefs and going in that area. Do you tend to like baking more or cooking a meal or?
At this point in my life, my career, I like cooking better.
You do?
Yes. I started off as baking. That was a passion of mine. And I still like to bake. Don't get me wrong. I love to bake. Yeah. But I like cooking better. I like cooking a meal for somebody better.
So if somebody were listening right now and they were interested in having you as a personal chef, how would they get a hold of you?
You can call on my cell phone, 603-440-9136, or go to my website, personalchefnh.com.
Ooh, that's a great website, personalchefnh.com. That's
right.
Excellent.
And I'm also on this thing called Thumbtack. It's a referral service. You go out there, you put a request in. You might not get me right away, but you'll get a whole lot of people will be bidding on your job.
And it's called Thumbtack?
Right.
I never heard of that.
Thumbtack.com. Restaurants are out there. It's not just for individuals. It's for,
Nice. Interesting.
Nice.
Very interesting.
Well, I'm very interested in a couple things then. I'm going to describe again the soup quest because it will help make sense of maybe my next question for you. Carol had challenged me to try to make a soup. I've never made soup before. And she gave me kind of the basic formula for, you know, you need a base. You need the broth. You need to add some protein. You need some sort of meat in there, vegetables, seasonings, those kinds of things. So at first, I was really kind of dreading it, and it just seemed like a lot of work. I've never made soup before. I didn't want to do it. Then as I started to get going and really understand all the choices I had within that formula, I started kind of getting into it. And I thought at the beginning of my project, maybe she has actually caused me to discover a love of cooking, because this could be really fun, because you really are putting part of yourself into it, because it's your own judgment on what you think might taste good. And then if you do that and somebody likes it, just that feeling you've created something, which probably is something that you...
Yeah, that's what I like a lot.
Yeah, that piece of it. Is that pretty much how you... I mean, do you follow recipes specifically, or do you love the cooking more that's, you know, what foods and ingredients do this certain thing to the dish, and then you can make those choices and really come up with your own concoction?
Right. That's basically how I, after I've been making a recipe for a while, I branch off and make my own twist on it. If it's something I've never made before, I usually follow the recipe to the T.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could find, as I taste, I said, I could use this or I could use that.
Exactly. You kind of make it your own.
Right.
Exactly.
And then it must help then to have that education behind you of knowing, for example, you were sharing something about salt, when we were off the air about what salt does, and it will help brown things. So just knowing some of those basic things, or knowing that, you know, citrus helps tenderize a meat. I mean, some of those basic things would help you to make those choices.
Right.
I mean, is that something that really propelled you even further in your love of food, is having that basic education that you had to go through?
Yeah, and you'll find out on your own, too, as you experiment, that you'll get to know what's good with what. You're going to have a lot of failures, but you're going to have a lot of successes, too.
Yeah.
But you always learn from the failures.
Yes, yes, yes. Which brings me to, yes.
Well, you know, we were talking the other day, and I can't refresh my memory, mm-hmm. but remember we were talking about, you know, if you find a recipe and you make it and you don't like it, most of us will just, okay, trash that recipe, forget it. But who are we talking to about making the recipe, you know, doing it again,
yep.
and,
yeah.
you know, maybe own. Making it, twisting it, you know, put
right.
a little twist on it, and, you know, you get better at it, and then you make it good.
Right. You can see the light bulbs go off for
yes.
both of us going, well, yeah, that makes sense.
It totally does.
Really, you probably only needed to change one or two things in
right.
that recipe and then just keep trying it, and you could come up with something that now you can really call your own
right.
because you've modified that recipe.
Right. There might be something there that you're not too thrilled with, some seasoning, so just leave it out. Put something else in instead.
Right,
exactly.
That maybe does that same
right.
thing to the dish. But you
right.
have to have that, I would think, that basic understanding of, okay, this is what these things do to food. For example, one of the discussions that we had a couple days ago was we were looking at a recipe and it called for unsalted butter. Is it important to use unsalted butter versus salted butter?
Oh, yeah, very much so. Because if you put salted butter in, you're not exactly sure how much salt is in there. And it may say salted butter, and then you might sit down and put a teaspoon of salt in, too. That might be too much.
Mm-hmm.
So if you use unsalted butter, it's totally in your control then.
Ah.
And you have to always make sure you keep tasting, too.
So is that the reason for unsalted butter? I mean,
unsalted butter is that salted butter came about mainly for people to spread on bread, according to the French. That's what salted butter is for. It's not for cooking. It's for putting on bread, rolls, whatever.
So generally then when you should cook with unsalted butter because
yeah.
then you can control the salt. That
right.
totally makes
right.
sense.
And I think, did you also mention that salted butter will brown up more quickly?
Yeah. If you say, just take an omelet, for instance. If you use unsalted butter, it'll brown, but it'll take a little bit longer to brown. Whereas you use salted butter, the salt speeds up the browning process. So you'll either get one with nice brown edges or you'll get a really black
ah.
It goes quick then.
Okay. Yeah. So it makes a difference when you're cooking
that
with that.
That makes sense.
Is there a particular recipe that is maybe a go-to recipe for you or a dish that you really love or something that's just your personal favorite? And
yeah. It's my wife's favorite recipe. So it's mine, too.
It's
beef bourguignon.
Ooh.
I made that.
Sounds fancy.
I consider that the reason why she married me.
Well, there's a lot to be said for that dish, then. That sounds
yeah,
fantastic.
I love it. I guess growing up, my inspiration was my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
My mother didn't cook all that well. My grandmother was an excellent cook.
Mm-hmm.
And then she gave me for my birthday one year, or Christmas or something, she gave me a little paperback book from that was Julia Child.
Oh,
I made every recipe in that book.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Beef bourguignon was in there. And mine is very similar to hers, but just about every recipe I have, it's a little bit of me not away from the recipe.
Nice.
So for people that don't know what that dish is, could you tell us what it is?
I'm not quite sure myself. In a nutshell,
yeah.
it's a... I would consider it a beef stew, well, beef, of course, red wine, either a Macon or some kind of Burgundy wine, and some potatoes, small pearl potatoes, onions, mushrooms, tomato paste, of course, garlic, and salt and pepper, all to your seasoning, to yourself.
Okay. Mm, that does sound delicious.
And you can either serve it on top of... If you don't put the potatoes in it, you can put potatoes on the plate and pour that over the top.
Right.
Or noodles.
Nice.
Sort of like, you know, my boyfriend on Sunday made coq au vin. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah.
That's chicken.
Sort of, that's a chicken version of
it. Right. Exactly.
Yeah,
it sounds. That's sort of, it sounded exactly like the opposite
right.
with chicken. Yeah.
And like, of course, my wife's half Italian, and she considers coq au vin a... French version of chicken cacciatore.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You are listening to Food for Thought, for those of you just tuning in, and we are in studio with Chef Richard Sharp, a personal chef. You can check him out on the web at personalchefnh.com if you are looking for a personal chef. And we are going to go on a short break, and when we come back, we are going to have Chef Richard try Jeannie's. You're going to critique Jeannie's so-called soup that we have sitting in front of us. So listeners and live audience, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Back to Food for Thought. We are live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street in downtown Manchester. And we are in studio with Chef Richard Sharp. He is a personal chef. You can check him out on the web at personalchefnh.com. And this is like going to be probably my favorite part of the show today. First, you need to give Chef Richard a little preview of what we have sitting in front of us at the moment. I'm not quite sure what it is.
Yeah, well, okay. So my project was I was supposed to make some soup. And what I decided, because my whole objection to soup in the first place is that it takes a very long time and a lot of steps, and I don't think it needs to. So what I named my soup before I even made it was Jeannie's Almost Homemade Meat Lover's Soup.
Almost.
Almost homemade. Here's why almost. I decided, because I wanted to put bacon in it and chicken and kielbasa, which you will find in there. And I decided, well, I'm going to use broth from a store. So I used pre-made broth. And for the chicken, I bought a rotisserie chicken because I figured that's already got the seasoning in it. And I can pick the chicken off, and that would add a good flavor to it. So I remembered Carol saying garlic goes in everything she makes, and then you can't do too much garlic. So what I did was I first fried up the bacon, and then with some of the bacon grease, I cooked the onions and the garlic. And then I got a little confused, but I didn't know the order that carrots and green peppers and zucchini should go in. Because you want the carrots soft, you don't want the carrots too crunchy. But I was afraid things would get soggy, and then I just needed to start putting everything in. So I put that in, I put a little I put the chicken broth in. I put some Creole seasoning in and some Worcestershire sauce. And that was where I ended, and everything looked really good. And I thought, oh, I need a starch in here. So I threw some rice in. And I waited a few minutes, and I stirred it. I was like, you can't even find the grains of rice.
Oh, my gosh, and then you added more.
I added a whole nother cup of rice. And then when I went back to the soup, it was like this big oatmeal-looking porridgey mess.
Which
that you
is what we have sitting in front of us.
So before I added the rice, I had taken a little bit out, and I thought, oh, the flavor's not too bad. I was worried that it was going to be too salty because of the kielbasa. But to me, it tasted okay, and the only seasonings I added was the Creole seasoning and the Worcestershire sauce to kind of round it out.
Did you put salt and pepper?
No.
What?
No.
You didn't use salt
there's
and pepper
There's bacon in,
here? In
there. There's kielbasa. Taste it and tell me.
I'm a little nervous.
Well, you'll need a fork and knife.
I'm really a little nervous, I do have to say.
I know.
I'm going to let Chef Richard try it first.
You're not going to keel over.
Oh,
so
my.
Other than not putting in so much rice, what could I or should I have done differently?
Okay, can I ask you one question, though?
Yeah, you can ask several.
I just would like to know, because we were really stuck on this particular step of the chicken parts.
The chicken parts, I know.
Did you look for the chicken parts?
I meant to, and
you
I was
still didn't look for the chicken parts?
No. I've never seen, I'm telling Chef Richard and anyone else who has not heard this story, I've never seen anything labeled chicken parts. I didn't know you could buy chicken parts.
Usually called cut-up chicken.
Okay. See, I like that better because when she said chicken parts, I picture this package of like a hoof. What do chickens have? A claw and a beak and, you know, just these discarded parts. Nothing sounds good.
Or you just buy chicken breasts or chicken,
chicken
legs.
Right. Okay, chicken breasts or legs.
Let's think about this. Bye. For someone who's busy and wants to kind of bypass a few steps, are the ones that I bypassed the, most harmless. What do I want to say? The ones that probably would make the most sense and not really alter the dish. I mean, was it okay that I used rotisserie chicken?
Well,
is it okay that
it
I
is.
Used?
Yeah.
It is, but, you know,
all right,
is.
Did you take a bite?
I did.
It's okay because a lot of times people will use leftover chicken to make soup.
Yes.
So that's...
You're right. That's true.
Okay. Now, you asked if I added salt and pepper. Do you feel that it's missing any salt and pepper? And my husband adds salt to everything. He had two bowls of this last night.
He
which
had
I was surprised.
Two bowls of this?
I was so shocked. And he didn't add salt and pepper.
Mark, how do you feel right now?
Well, he's not with us any longer. No, he's not here.
I don't think it needs any more salt.
No, see? And do you think it picked up enough of the salt from...
Whatever you put in here, yeah, it's got more than enough, yeah.
Yeah, too much?
I would probably like a little bit less.
Okay.
Personal choice.
Okay. So what do you think of the things that I threw? If I had done the right amount of rice, would this have been a soup that was maybe salvageable?
If you had the right amount of rice in here, or you were able to get a larger pot and put a